Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About.
Meet Tim Miller, Donna Bray, and Dana Fritz, author, illustrator, editor, publisher, art director. It's a look at a picture book from all angles. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 351 of the podcast with Tim Miller and Donna Bray and Dana Fritz. A quick reminder, April is National Poetry Month, and we follow that up in May with Children's Book Week, May 1st through 7th. So if you're a teacher, a librarian, make sure that you get your students onto everychildareader.net /vote to vote in the 10th Annual Children's and Teen Choice Book Awards. There's also group ballots on the site and downloadables, including bookmarks and posters and activities. So go to everychildareader.net/vote. I'm happy to support the Children's Book Council I do every year. My students are looking forward to voting in the children's book categories again this year. And if you haven't ever participated with your students, this is a great year to jump in. All right, time to meet our guests. Tim Miller debuted in picture books as the illustrator of Snapsy the Alligator, written by Julie Falatko. But today we're talking about Moo Moo in a Tutu, his debut book as both author and illustrator. Donna Bray edited the book and is also co-founder of the Balzer & Bray imprint. Dana Fritz is the associate art director at HarperCollins, and she worked with Tim on Moo Moo in a Tutu as well. This conversation has a whole lot of energy and excitement and sincerity, so I hope it reaches you with the same. Stick around after the final question for a special announcement from Donna, Dana, and Tim. Here is episode number 351 of the podcast with Tim Miller, Donna Bray, and Dana Fritz. Welcome to the podcast. Tim, first let me say hi to you. Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, Matthew. Thank you for having me.
Tim Miller, ladies and gentlemen, of Snapsy the Alligator fame, back with a new book. Hey-o.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Tim, you brought friends. Let's say hi to Donna Bray. Donna, want to say hi?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on,
oh, my
Matthew.
Word.
I've long admired your podcast. This is thrilling to be a guest,
ooh,
especially with Tim Miller.
We're starting with flattery. I like this. I like the way this is going.
isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Okay.
So Donna, before we go to Dana, do you mind just sharing briefly a little bit about what you do, how people will know you?
Sure. Well, my title is co-publisher of Balzer & Bray, which is an imprint at HarperCollins Children's Books. The imprint is about almost 9 years old, in fact.
Well, congratulations.
And I publish everything from picture books and middle grade fiction and young adult fiction. And I just, you know, am interested in a lot of things. So this is a job that allows me to be a bit of a dilettante and work with really fun people. So
That's awesome.
I feel very lucky.
Congratulations. Yeah. 9 years. That's wonderful. There's a lot of lot of good books I've loved through those years. And Dana, you're a new face and a new name for me. I can't wait to meet you. Do you mind making introductions here?
Sure. Thank you for having me on, Matthew. I'm the Associate Art Director at HarperCollins, and I mostly work with the Balzer & Gray imprint.
Associate Art Director. I like that. How long have you been with HarperCollins?
11 years.
Hey, now. All right. You've seen some beautiful things come under your nose, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Lots of gorgeous books.
You've seen probably some careers take off, too, in that way, knowing that there's new people coming in all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. Lots of new faces and great illustrators.
Love it. Well, we are all gathered here today around one of our favorite great illustrators. Sorry, Tim, there was no way to like smoothly do that.
I'll take whatever
I'm just going to jump in. That's right. Tim, congratulations. You are having your author illustrator debut with Moo Moo in a Tutu. I love it. Do you want
Thank you.
Woo! Do you want to share a little bit with the people listening your book talk for Moo Moo in a Tutu?
Sure. My book talk. Well,
that's what we call it in the library world, right? What's your, I don't know, I want to call it your pitch. That sounds weird.
My pitch? All right, children, listen to my pitch here. we have two of my best friends, acquaintances, that I may have known since early childhood, since I grew up on a farm with lots of cows and ducks and other interesting animals. But the two stars of Moo Moo in a Tutu are Moo Moo and Mr. Quackers. And Moo Moo is a very enthusiastic cow. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume my mother isn't listening and mention that the character is very much inspired by her enthusiastic nature. And Moo Moo's best buddy in crime is Mr. Quackers, who is very much like me. He's a little bit skeptical about things. He's a little bit squarish. He could learn to loosen up a little bit, and he's a little pragmatic. And basically, the story is about their relationship together. What happens when these two completely different characters come together, and the different adventures that they enjoy together.
I love the story, and I love the feeling. And I hope now that we have the publisher on the line. To find out that there's like 30 more books already optioned for Moo Moo and Quackers. But
thank you, Matthew. The check is in the
mail. There it is. There it is. No, I just felt like you, I guess my takeaway from reading Moo Moo and Tutu a couple times with my son in particular, him reading it with me, Tim, is that it feels like you already know your characters really well. And, just this one scene we get with them, with Moo Moo, wow, not even like auditioning for the ballet, but just donning a tutu and going onto the stage, was something that just their interactions back and forth were really charming and were something that felt like were taken out of an excerpt of a much larger story. So I appreciate the time that you've spent growing up with these characters, as you said. And
if you only knew.
If I only knew.
No, thank you. No, thank you. And, you know, first of all, it's really nice to hear that, because the funny thing is like in the process of making everything, it's so abstract, while it lives, you know, kind of in your private sphere when you're trying to hash things out. But one thing that I'll say is, you know, when I was working around the conversation between the characters and just kind of their interactions, one thing that I have in the back of my mind is the kinds of interactions I would have with my students when I was working at the Queen's Museum. And in particular, I really enjoyed to kind of, throw down a playful banter with them to kind of secretly steal their attention into like where I wanted them to go. So like that's all like, I'm trying to put that all into the kind of trying to seduce the reader in that kind of playful exchange with the characters. So I'm happy to hear that you might have gotten some kicks out of it.
I loved it. And I can't wait to find out, because you were so kind to share some of the developing sketches that led into this story. I loved seeing how much Moo Moo has changed, in particular, how much the cow has changed. But I would love to ask where and when, Donna, you got involved. Tim, I don't know if this was something that you went straight to them, or if you had an agent that shopped it around a little bit, or something like that. But can you take us to how you two got connected?
Sure. Don, you want Donna to start, or you want me to start?
I have all sorts of documentary evidence.
Nice. Donna, I knew if I brought you in that we could incriminate somehow how this all got started. No, I'm sorry.
Well, let me, Matthew.
Tell me, sorry. Donna, you saw this book. I assume in your pile, there was like, I'm picturing like a golden light beaming from the manuscript. And so as you picked it up, cherubs just sang a G major, and you opened it, and, you know, it illuminated your face. And then you knew that you had to make an offer. Is that something close to what happened?
It's actually really, really close. Yes, exactly. That is almost how it happens.
That's so, definitely what my ego wants to imagine.
Yes, absolutely. The angel sang, the skies parted. Well, actually, in April 2014, which also just, I think that it's always very, it's always shocking to me. Dana and I sat down today and went through kind of the timeline and the process and sort of reviewed our notes, because, you know, in a way it feels just like yesterday, Tim, that we first met. But it was actually April 2014 when Tim's agent emailed me and said, you know, I've just taken on this amazing illustrator. And she didn't actually have a book, but she had the one thing she attached to this email was an image that is in the book, almost completely unchanged, of Moo Moo on stage with the ballerinas. And so that, you know, by looking at that, it was so beautifully composed. It told a story, you know, without any words and with just one image, that I knew that this was somebody that I needed to meet in person. And it was very convenient that he was local. So I was able to do that pretty soon after, right, Tim? I think you came in with your sketchbooks. So it was really, and that, you know, I don't always ask to meet people. A lot of times you see the art and you're like, I get it. You know, I can see what's going on, and I'll sort of wait and see what happens. But because there was so much storytelling going on in the image, I knew that I wanted to sort of explore more what Tim had going on. So not that long after, he came in and he showed me his sketchbooks were just filled with, I would say, playful is a really good word for it, but just all of these really playful scenarios, many of which involved the cow and the duck that became Moo Moo and Mr. Quackers, but also just all manner of animals and people in sort of wild, you know, funny, silly scenarios. So I think at the time we talked about some of those ideas, and I was very excited. But it wasn't until several months later that Moo Moo and Atutu came to me again through the agent. And it's funny, because when I was, you know, in a way that with someone as talented as Tim, if I may say that, you know,
yes, sir, I'll allow it.
Yeah. Okay, good. What you have at the outset, you know, when we looked at the dummy again today, the original dummy that I got, there's so much about this that stayed almost exactly the same. Like a lot of the arc of the story was very much the same. The characters' sort of body shapes and the humor of their dynamic was very much the same. And there was so much already there for me to work with. And I think one of the best tests of, you know, when you're looking at a rough dummy for the first time is, does it make you laugh? you know, do you just involuntarily start like smiling or chuckling? And do you immediately start thinking, here's what I can do with this? Here's how this can be even better. And I think when you come to a story with so many ideas for making it better, both in terms of text and in terms of visuals, you know, in terms of, you know, maybe tweaking the pacing or tweaking the ending, you know, when something generates that much, so many ideas, that's when you know you have something going, you know, and when you can also see, as you were saying, 10,000 more stories about these characters,
yes,
you know that this is someone who's actually created, you know, not just cute animals on the page, but real characters with some depth and a real relationship. So anyway, that was an exciting time. That was December 2014. So it takes a while for a book to come out.
That's awesome, though, that that from an image that ultimately stayed in the book became this book, that from there you had something. Tim, that's really impressive.
Yeah, well, I'm impressed that Donna tracked down the email and that they looked over everything today and got prepared. Thank you.
I imagine looking through that notebook of work that you have, Tim, from what I've seen from what you share online and from knowing Snapsy and Moo Moo now, I always have felt from you this wonderful childlike sense. Your work often to me feels like some sort of cross-section between Sesame Street and the Far Side comics.
Hey, that's beautiful.
Wonderful.
That make me happier.
Yeah, your humor is just like, it's just a twinge of so one of my favorite spreads, many favorite spreads in this book, my word, that sort of culminating spread of Moo Moo up high in the sky as she twirls and the whole audience is like bird's eye view. Goodness, that image takes my breath away. But yeah,
that's one of my favorites too.
And that was in the original dummy, I have
holy
to say.
Cow, that's so beautiful.
But I redrew it.
You did redraw it.
All of the
yeah,
faces.
No, it's beautiful. And all those little faces, my God, Tim.
And honestly, I am inherently lazy, even though the detail is grueling and I'll put up with it. But when I knew that I had to redraw that thing and I was like, no, I don't want to do it. Like every stupid little head.
Well, the one page that I wanted to draw attention to that I think illustrates that sense of humor so well is when they're buying tickets to the ballet and Moo Moo says, two tickets for a cow and a duck, please. And the duck says, I'm the duck. And above Scott, the ticket salesman's head is a sign that says, adult, a lot of money. Child, double money. Senior, triple money. That's wonderful. That kind of stuff where you're making illustrations for us to study, for us to look for the details. And the design of this book being such a large trim size allows us to really study in the illustrations. It was really a treat. So Dana, why don't I bring you in? Where in this did you, at what point in selling a manuscript do you get involved? Do you get like assigned to a manuscript or you look at it and jump up and down and are like, this is the one for me?
I definitely look at it and jump up and down, especially when we got this one. Usually the editors show me the manuscripts when they acquire them. Hmm. And sometimes even before that, just as like a little treat, they show me that they're trying to get this book. And
right.
Yeah, I was really excited when I saw Moo Moo. And a tutu.
I have to say that Dana is being very modest. Dana is a brilliant, brilliant designer who has been involved in, I would say, almost all the picture books or most of the picture books that the imprint has published, with a few exceptions since we started in 2009 and started publishing, that is. And this was one I definitely brought her in on early just to sort of, you know, get her excited because I knew she would be working on it. But also, you know, I really value Dana's advice and I always like to get her sense of like, you know, any ideas she has or anything that she particularly admires.
Yeah.
And I would say that one thing that Dana and I both admire, probably Dana more, you know, even more especially, I'll just say that for you, Dana. I don't know if that's true or not. Coming from a more of an illustration background, is that, you know, as silly and playful as Tim is, there's something quite serious grounding all of this, and that is Tim's sense of pacing and timing and composition. These are really like exquisite compositions, and this is a book where you actually don't even need the words to tell the story. Like, you, a kid could pick up this book and know exactly what happens. You know, the words are sort of extra in a way, like they kind of, they add to the humor, which is sort of how it should be. But I think we were so impressed by how grounded this book is in artistry. Even though it comes off as very, you know, sort of like a fun cartoon.
I think we had that conversation too when we first looked at it, that mm-hmm. we really didn't even need any words. And there was so much more text in the first draft than there ended up being in the book.
Sorry.
No way, just chop that text out so we can see
words. It looks great the way it is, and it just needs like a few speech bubbles here and there. But I was really drawn to the title too. I just think Moo Moo in a Tutu, like, how could you not pick up a book that's called Moo Moo in a Tutu? It's such a fun title.
Yeah, the repeating sounds alone, the way that the name Moo Moo mirrors the sound tutu, is something that I picked up on that I really liked. And I like the way you're talking about the illustration, because I do feel like part of that appeal for me, and Tim, I should say, I like the way that this feels like, I mean, picture books, we've talked on this podcast before of picture books sort of being giant zoomed in graphic novels, but here you're actually paneling your art. You're directing the pacing in some ways there too. But I feel that as well, that the words don't need to be there for our younger readers, or rather, maybe I could say anyone who is that pre-reading age will rely on these great, beautiful illustrations to just act as cues for them retelling the story. Mm-hmm. And then they will, I'm sure, make up their own dialogue. So that skill, that craft that you're pulling off there, I mean, I you're a wizard, so I understand that there's that witchcraft going on. But
thank you.
No, I think that it's an example of how picture books can work on those two different levels, about how many different audiences can see and be entertained in many different ways. And I don't think that's something that comes naturally. I think that there's a talent behind people that are able to make picture books that way. And I say that to all three of you, because there certainly are teams that work to edit books and to bring out the best in what the artist puts forth. And this is something where I think the team really accomplished something beautiful.
Well, that, you know, just that thought in itself, and honestly, I don't think about that too much, but what's interesting to me is, like, as a kid, like I definitely would go for the pictures before I would go into the words, just because I wanted to know what the story was about. I was so anxious to get it all in, you know, before I had the patience to read the words. But then also, you know, so I love to, like, suck it all up through my eyes almost as fast as I could. And then after I would read a story, then I also love the whole aspect of being able to go back to the pictures, and then the story would still live on. And so, you know, one thing about, like, also the pictures being, like, I mean, I love building them with all the little details, because as a kid, that was how I used to like to live in the pictures. You know, all my favorite books were books that I could continue I could linger for a really long time, and you kind of move around in it. And then you discover little surprises that you don't necessarily realize right off, you know, when you start. So to me, that's really exciting to try to build that into the book. And that's something that I hope that other readers who have that similar kind of connection with pictures will have a similar experience. And the last thing I'll throw onto that really quickly is, you know, one of the first things I ever learned when I went to the School of Visual Arts and I got my bachelor's in cartooning there was so exciting, the thought of sequential art and being able to tell a story in pictures and have it work without the words. Like that was like essential in order for it to function as a comic. And then the words went on top of that. So that's all stuff that's been beat into me.
Well, I think that has served you well. And the first immediate thing, this is just to throw it out there because it's your humor and I love it. But have you, this will sound like it's out of left field, but speaking of cartoons, growing up on Garfield, as an adult, I later came to love Garfield without Garfield. Have you ever read the comic?
Oh, yeah. Actually, someone just turned me on to it, and it's pretty hysterical. I love it.
But that idea, too, though, it's making me go back and realize that, yeah, this whole time that I thought it was a comic strip that I was reading the text and the illustrations, and they're both doing, I can see where the illustrations are leading, and that is very clear in Moo Moo and a Tutu. It's wonderful. I also really liked, from an art direction standpoint, I liked the way that the audience, the crowd, is in this like muted blue and gray in the back, and we have Duck popping in. Mr. Quackers pops in his colors, and it draws our eyes right to there whenever he's cheering on Moo Moo, or whenever he's just, I don't know, walking down offering a can of worms to a neighbor for a snack, just so nonchalantly. This is the world we live in. You are primarily inhabited by human beings, but there are animals that walk in and offer you snacks. It's wonderful. I like this world. I want to live in this world, Tim.
Me
Dana,
too.
Dana, can I ask you a nerdy insider? It's going to be one of these, like, I don't work in publishing, so I'm going to do my best to word this the right way. But when it came to considering how this book would look on a shelf, or how it would just exist in the hands of a reader, how much conversation did you and Tim have together about something like trim size, about the cover, about just the look and the weight and the feel of the book? Is that something that you're often leading with on that decision, or having back and forth with the illustrator? Just what does that look like in the process?
Dana said she didn't care what I thought. Tim, oh, wait, I'm sorry. That left. Came out in the wrong way.
This is what we're doing now. You have to do it. But no, we had a nice conversation probably about trim size first, and decided that we want it to be nice and big. So we went with 10 by 10. And that's a quick conversation, and the cover usually takes a lot longer. I think what we started with was, we knew we wanted to show Moo Moo, you know, kind of leaping forward on the cover. And it was, how do we get Mr. Quackers in there without losing him, because he's so tiny compared to Moo Moo? And also how to show, like, is she going to be on the stage? Is it in her imagination? Do we want to include the audience members? Things like that. We went back and forth on a little bit. And we came up with a great idea to just use the spotlights to kind of draw the...
No, I think you came up with that idea.
Oh, I did? I don't know.
No, you did.
3 years ago. No.
It's great design, Dana.
I think, Dana, you came up with like one spotlight, and I think Tim added a bunch more.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then we played with like different colors, like should the background be purple or aqua? Mm-hmm. There was such like a nice palette.
It's amazing how much time is spent on a cover.
I believe it. Well, everything is judged on this cover. This is a cover that I can face out and that will get questions and will get picked up right away. I mean, the way that Moo Moo is just centered perfectly on the cover with this bright pink tutu, the yellow sort of framing the top and bottom and the text going across the title, but then also Tim on the stage where your name is framed in the bottom, the ribbon saying Moo Moo and Mr. Quackers present, beckoning it to have more books in the series. It's just, all of it is sort of, it all works really well from a design perspective. I like, just in the spotlights, that one of the spotlights follows Mr. Quackers' sight line. So it almost leads us to look and go like, what's going on here?
Yeah, you know, sorry, go ahead, Tim.
No, no. I will, What I was going to say real quick about the cover and then also the title page, I think those were both things and continue to be things like when I'm working on books that make that I feel kind of, I definitely feel insecure about, like in terms of like coming up with the image. And I, if I remember correctly, I think I leaned really heavily on you, Dana, with most of the thinking for what happened on the cover as well as the title page. And in a lot of ways, I definitely was grateful to be able to lean on you so much for that. And it's really cool to see how it comes, like all the different elements, like in terms of simplifying it, making it bold, and but then incorporating the text and the design of the text and everything, or the font for the title, you know, that stuff blows me away.
One of my favorite parts of the book too, that really makes it feel special, is that it has a separate case design that Tim came up with.
Oh. I don't know. Have you taken the jacket off?
I have an F&G. I don't have that.
Oh, no.
I have no idea. You're fun. You have, Tim, you get to be a nominee for the undies.
Oh, Tim is totally going to win an undie.
I can't wait to see you. You have to send me an image.
I could use some undies. I mean,
No, the case cover design is different, though. Is that something, Tim, that you, again, in that conversation with Dana, is that something that you talk about up front before? Like where I know not everyone has the opportunity to have that feedback or to make that suggestion. So is that something that you brought to the table? Because that's also a place where sometimes the story starts right there at the case cover and brings you into the book.
I think it probably came a little after we did the title page, and then I think I just asked, and you both were like, sure, and which was awesome, you know.
Yeah, I have to say, that's like, once you get past the interior of the book and the jacket, which is really, really hard, and I have to say, like, getting that, I'm so glad you talked about, you know, the design and the hierarchy of the elements, because getting the banner right, I mean, I think, Tim, you must have drawn, I don't know how many banners, and like, the font in the banner and the boldness of the font and like the size of the title type. I mean, it was a really, like, once you kind of know generally what you want, it's actually really hard to nail it. And so that took a long time. So once you get past that, it's, then it's all fun, you know, then you're just picking, like, then Tim's like, can I do a new piece for the case cover? It's like, sure. Like, do whatever you want now, you know, and picking the
jacket's done, whatever you want. Here's the keys to the city.
Exactly. And then it's just like joy, you know, because I mean, not that the whole process is joy, but it's work and joy at the same time. This is like low stakes, like, you know, let's make a fabulous, funny, awesome case cover that will be like a treat for anybody who takes a jacket off. Like, let's pick a really great, vibrant color for the end papers, you know, and like, let's have fun with the flaps, you know, it's all that stuff that you get to just take all the things that you've learned about the book, basically, and that you've learned, because the journey of making this book was really a journey of getting to know these characters really, really well. Like, as much as the basis of the characters was sort of set down in the original dummy, I feel that what made this book so much stronger was Tim sort of like doing, I don't know, it's like, you know, kind of almost like you being like an actor and like doing like a deep dive into like the backgrounds of these characters and bringing out things like, you know, all of the various enthusiasms that Mumu has had in the past tells you, you know, a lot about who this character is, that I have a gender issue, like pronoun issue, apparently, you know, has had a million enthusiasts, you know that whatever she's doing now, if she's going off to be a ballerina, it's not long for this world.
Right. I mean, just the opening line, the opening spread with Mr. Quacker is, I just had the best idea in the whole world. Another one? Like, I mean, this is a character, you're right, that we're reading that is just an idea machine. And Mr. Quackers is just like there for it and in it.
Yeah. Well,
one thing I'll say is like, because you're making me think about it again. And I'll start with the case cover, because what I like about like the opportunity to do a case cover and play with the end papers is just like how it's another layer. Like whether it's actually like it fits in with the narrative in a certain order, like it begins the narrative, or if it's just an additional layer, you know, to the story. I love that. It's another kind of form of playfulness. And what you were just talking about, Donna, made me think about how much the story changed since, you know, you saw the original Dummy. And I feel like what happened since, like, or at least for me, like working with you guys was like, it really helped push me to define the characters more so, you know. And I felt like it, and you really helped me to understand how to bring that out more so. And, you know, this being my first time trying to learn what it means to tell a story, like the story is so much built like from the characters. So like by being able to kind of explore how to exaggerate their differences, like that's, and also let my sarcasm kind of enjoy coming out in that process. It came to life in that way, you know.
Tim, one of my favorite things to observe about these two different characters, and one of the things I really respect from you as a storyteller's perspective, is that on that page that I read, on that introduction page, Mr. Duck is, or Mr. Quackers is, trimming a bonsai tree. And the way that focus and patience and that kind of temperament pairs with Mumu's sort of bombastic nature and wanting to jump in and just be a mess and be okay with it. And the fact that you have these two characters never just, they coexist in a really loving way, was something that drew me in really well too, and made me feel an affinity toward you as a storyteller in that way. Cause it felt like you're not here to poke fun at people. You're here to say that these two people coexist, and it's a beautiful thing.
Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah, man. You did a good thing. I like it. Good job.
Thank you so much, Matthew.
Yeah. One of the things that actually Tim added, like near the end, it's a very similar storyline, but there's a small moment that, you know, that's very much part of the relationship between Mumu and Mr. Crackers, is when Mumu falls through the drum. Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. And
Screw it. I'll edit it out. I'll take the time. Just kidding.
There go our sales.
And it's the one time that Mumu has like a moment of like embarrassment and like doubt. But then you see Mr. Quackers in the audience standing on a seat and yelling, brava. And like that also is very much a part of the relationship. Like as sort of skeptical and sarcastic as Mr. Quackers is, he's a supportive friend. And like it's that friendship that is like the key to the story.
Mm. It's a beautiful thing. Donna, how many picture books-ish do you publish every year?
Oh my goodness, what a question.
I know that you're selective. I know you read a lot and have to determine what will fit best, but just...
How many do I do a year? I mean, I may only do personally like maybe like 6 to 8.
Oh goodness, it's way smaller than I thought. Maybe
even less. It really varies by season. Like sometimes I might have just 2 picture books a season. Other times I'll have 4. And as you know, we have, you know, other editors in the imprint, Alessandra and Kristen Renz, who also edit picture books. So yeah, it depends, but we are very selective. It's maybe about a third of our list.
Well, I'm grateful. I brought it up to say that I'm grateful that you chose this book. I'm grateful that this book is one of the ones that got to move forward and got to be in our hands. It's a beautiful book, and you took a lot of time making it. Even more so from what I can garner from this conversation. I'm grateful for that.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
And Dana, I'd love to know likewise from you. Sorry, Tim, can I just ask one more? No. Dana, how many books do you work on in a given year?
I would say about 18 to 20, maybe.
Yeah, goodness. So likewise, for that same amount of devotion and attention to this book, and I'm sure every single book that you work on, but to work to bring out all of the great things that I know Tim had going already into this story, but to amplify, to make it shine even better. It's a beautiful work, and it helps me to hear all of the different ways that each of you were involved, because I don't think we get to see that very often. I think often it's sort of a magic and a mystery in how books are made. And I'm glad that there are people like Tim out there in front of children talking about that process. But likewise for me as an adult too, to get to hear it is something really special. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for using your platform to get the word out about these great books. We're always so grateful to you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for giving me a public space to just nerd out over picture books. All right.
Well, and that's also what I would, well, we're giving you some compliments, buddy.
Yeah. Now I'm going to squirm and be uncomfortable.
No, what I love about it is because I'm so interested to know about process, and I love to be able to listen to that conversation, you know, with all the wonderful people you talk to.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you listen, and I'm glad you make stuff too. That's a cool thing. It's always a neat thing to know that people are listening outside of these conversations. It's a wonderful thing. And some of the people that listen are children, and especially teachers and librarians. And so I want to bring it back to that library before we go. We've done so much talking about kids already, but let me just go around the table, and I'll ask you, Donna, and then Dana, and I'll end on you, Tim, that I'll see a library full of children tomorrow morning. Is there a message, Donna, that I can bring to them from you?
Oh, my goodness. I would say a couple of things. I would say that they should be as unafraid to be bold and silly as Mumu. and that their stories matter more than they could ever imagine.
That's wonderful. Dana, how about you? A message that I can bring to the children from you?
I would tell them to just keep reading. And for the children that like art, just keep doodling. And one day maybe they can illustrate a book too.
To see the book, the works that they already do is so exciting. So to know that, Tim, they might be in your position one day, I'm sure is something you experience a lot. Is there a message I can bring to them from you?
Yeah, it's hard following up those two. But the first thing that I'll say is it's okay to just look at the pictures, because looking at pictures is reading too. And the last thing that I'll say is worms taste great. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So, Tim, you have a new book coming out next year. Why don't we first do the date? What do we have? An estimated date for a new Mumu arrival?
It'll. I don't have the exact date handy, but it's next April, basically.
Next April. Next April. All right. Here next we go. April. Title dun, reveal.
Dun, 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 dun. What's cooking, Mumu?
What's cooking, Mumu? Woo! And we're at a restaurant. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Can't wait, man. What?
Thank you so much.
What is, can you give us a tiniest bite of what is in store for Mumu and Mr. Quackers in this new story?
Well, what happens when Mumu and Mr. Quackers open a restaurant together?
Oh,
dun, dun, dun!
That's amazing. Tune in next April, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to be great. Well, congratulations again on Mumu and a Tutu being out in the world, on your debut as author, illustrator, and just on having a really amazing book for kids to read. I'm glad your name is on it. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And thank you to Donna and Dana for making it possible. So thank you so much.
Coming up on the podcast, Jason Chin shares Grand Canyon, a breathtakingly beautiful picture book. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.